It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome, hour two, at least official start of hour two. I think this has been my most egregious ignoring of when to go to break, by far. It happens. I learned from the worst, to be honest with you. Nature versus nurture. This was pure nurture. I didn't grow up like this. I was taught this.
I was punctual.
Yeah.
Before I started working on that other show.
Yeah. Until they told me, or at least they taught me that the rules don't apply. We'll try to stay reasonably on time. But first, we talk to Lazy J, who wants to get into some soccer. What's up, Lazy J?
Hey, good morning, Dale. Yeah, man, I want to get in and talk some soccer, man. I went to the game last night. I just feel like, man, the referees have so much power nowadays, man. There were some non-calls early on that should have went the Dynamo's way. And I just felt like every time Seattle was hitting the ground, you know, the little short guy, I guess, you know, short syndrome or whatever, was pulling out some cards, man. It felt like every time he was pulling out a card, a yellow card here. Yeah, I get it. Hector Herrera kind of spit at his way, but, man, come on. You know, you gave us a red card last Monday. Like, come on, man, that's not a red card. And Clark, man, he cannot stop a goal to save his life. Like, when it was the penalties at the end, I was basically sitting right behind it. And it's like, he never moved. He stood still the whole time. Like, at least try to go for the ball. It's just, it's ass, bro. Like, Dynamo should have went further than what they should this year, man. So, you just want to get your thoughts on that, man. I love the show. I know it's not soccer talk. You know, I know you don't like to hear that crap, but.
What?
No.
Have you met this show?
You told me to listen on Tuesdays and Wednesdays to what's called, bro. So,
no, I said, you know, I didn't have an answer for you, but you can listen to Glenn Davis. He's more of an expert. I never told you we don't talk soccer. Why are you lying? Just lying to people. I've never said we don't talk soccer. Thank you.
It is what it is.
It is what it is because you're lying. Thank you, Lazy J, for calling in. Lying, Jay.
All right, bro.
Appreciate you. I didn't get much. I didn't see much of the Dynamo game. I know what happened. And first, Hector Herrera already had a yellow card for the swipe that kind of set the spitting in motion. He kicked out at a guy as the ball was already gone. That was a clear yellow. And then he spit at the referee for giving him a yellow. You can't spit at the feet of a referee. What are we doing here? I know you're upset. The Dynamo lost some penalties. They're out of the MLS playoffs. MLS decided to go to a weird format where the first round is best of three and then the rest of the games in the playoffs are winner take all, one game. Very odd. I guess their reasoning is we wanted less upsets, so we think the better team will win over the course of a series as opposed to a one-game scenario. I would say this to you. If it's good enough for the World Cup, it's good enough for you. Yes, you know what's great about sports? Upsets. I guess you would love L.A. to play Miami in a final. Great for ratings. But you know what? That's not what sports is. This is the best of three is like bordering on their whole, we don't do normal penalties. We're going to do this run-up thing that they did to start the league. Where, hey, we're going to try to make this more exciting. No more penalties. We're going to set the ball like 30 yards out and have the guy run up to it and try to dribble around the goalie or fire it, which was an awful American thing they did to try to make the game different. Just have one game. Or if you're not going to do that, do the aggregate scoring. You want to make the road goal more important, do that. But why a best of three in a season that already takes forever? It's just the MLS being weird.
Yeah, you know, they really want to go further and further into football season in America. That's the way to get eyeballs on their sport. Also, every other sport, the final is normally the longer series, like baseball.
Yeah.
It's a three-game series, five-game series,
Yeah, even if you want to be all American about it, which you already are because you're having playoffs in a league, in a domestic league, where most of the time, for the most part, unless you're talking about the Mexican League, around the world it's like single table. If you're top of the table, you're the winner.
You just play everybody twice.
Yeah, play everybody twice, and whoever comes out ahead on points is obviously the best team in the league because you played everybody twice, home and away. But you want to be American because that makes sense for Americans for a playoff. That's cool. But why are we decreasing the games as we go along?
Yeah. No, I mean,
you want to, so they want it to be normal except for the first round because they, like, as I said, they think it'll decrease upsets. Okay. Sure.
Is there like evidence to back that up? I mean,
well,
I guess.
Well,
like,
they haven't done it for a long time. I think they maybe started last year or very recently.
I was going to say, because like theoretically that makes sense.
Yes.
But also, I don't know.
I don't know how
were the Dynamo favorites?
I don't think so because the Sounders had the two home games, I believe. So last year, I think they only had one upset. So I guess it's working out. I just think it's a dumb solution.
Just less teams in the playoffs.
Or you could do that too.
Boom.
But it's but Solid. Once again, it's an American league, so we got to have as many teams in the playoffs as we can.
Okay.
We got to get as many chances to put them on TV as we can. So, but yes, I think the penalty shootout was 7-6. The Dynamo honestly shouldn't have even been in a penalty shootout. They scored an own goal with about, I think they're 3 minutes deep into stoppage time. I think it was a 93rd minute where they scored to tie the game. And obviously they had to fight against the Herrera red card, but you can't spit at the ref, man. It's an easy thing to do. That dude's a veteran. I can't believe that the MLS playoffs are the biggest game that guy's played, considering he is a Mexican international, played in World Cups. Hector Herrera, don't spit at the ref or even at his feet. That's how you stay in the game. That's how maybe your team wins that game, as opposed to fighting and clawing to stay in it and then eventually losing in penalties. So Dynamo go down. Their season is over. That's two good years in a row. Last year they made the MLS playoffs, I believe. They won a cup. Not the MLS Cup, but they won one of the auxiliary cups. I don't know if maybe it was the U.S. Open Cup. I think it was because I think Inter-Miami won the League's Cup, but I think the Dynamo won the U.S. Open Cup. So it's been a good run for Ben Olsen, just in the way they wanted it to this year. But going forward, make sure your veteran players don't do dumb things and maybe you got a better shot. See, Lazy J, we can talk soccer. I don't know why you have to lie. I just tell people Glenn Davis is the place you go to if you want expert analysis. He's calling those games. He's watching every minute of those games.
This is literally the only show that will talk about this today.
Yeah.
Other than Glenn tomorrow.
Yeah, unless you call them and they'll just maybe not even get to your call. Coming in here with that crap. I'm a little offended. Mostly because he's just lying. This show doesn't talk soccer? What's he talking about?
Yeah. Call him to Glenn George, see how that goes over.
Yeah.
See what Paul says.
Yeah, see what Paul says about the MLS playoffs. Try him, please.
He didn't want to watch the World Series.
you think he's had eyes on Dynamo? I don't know. Maybe he got a free ticket.
He did
ticket.
Not.
Yeah. The only way he would go if someone invited him, and it had to be the right person to invite him. I'm not going to go any further than that, but you may get what I mean. He's not just going to hang out at the Dynamo game. I dare you, Lazy J. Try Gallant on that. All right. We'll try to get out on time here. We're failing, but we're getting closer. But before I go, let's talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com is the website. So if you need plumbing help, that's where you go. Whether it be a small leak or you need an appliance fixed, if you want to call a water heater an appliance, they'll do that for you. Maybe you need to get a washing machine hooked up, or there's an issue with it, and it has to do with your pipes. They will take care of you, because the last thing you need in your home, in your washing machine, or coming out of the faucet is dirty, stinky water. We take it for granted that when we turn on the faucet, the water's going to come on, it's going to come out clean. That's what we expect. It is a convenience that we don't expect not to be there. So you know how to guarantee that? You go to Aqueduct Plumbing Company and you check out the website, because they will list all their services, whether you need a tankless water heater or a regular one, or you need a refit, or you frankly just don't know what it is, but you need someone to come out and check it. They have that free price quote where you can call them at 281-488-6238, and they'll figure it out for you. We're not experts. We're not plumbers, but the experts are the people with Aqueduct Plumbing Company. They've been trained in repipes, which is a big job. They've done over 1,000 of those, but they will take care of anything you have that's a problem. Go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Alex Bregman wins a gold glove. He's expected to get a qualifying offer from the Astros, and he'll become a free agent. Normally, well, in the sports that I guess I would say I focus on more in free agency, we hear rumors of a deal that is supposed to happen before it happens, like this team is targeting this guy, or sources close to a certain insider believe that it's going to be one of these two teams. I haven't heard much on Alex Bregman other than this is the day it all begins. Who's holding out hope that he's still going to be an Astro? Other than hope traffickers on Twitter. Who's holding out hope?
Yeah.
It's There's too like, quiet, it feels like, for... Although the Astros kind of do move in silence. We don't know until the deal's done. I think that's how baseball works, at least how the Astros treat it. We're not hearing rumor after rumor until it's completed. But I don't feel like there has been any real momentum for retaining him. It feels like, okay, they're going to go through the process of the offering the qualifying offer, and then he'll have free run of free agency to see where he wants to go and see what his value is.
Yeah, I think the Astros' best shot is that if Alex Bregman is still a free agent in like January, that's where it starts for me, at least, to like U-turn into, oh, Astros might actually have a chance just because he's obviously not getting the deals he wanted, which means the Astros might be able to lowball him, or at least like, you know, come up with some sort of a 3-year deal with opt-outs or something where he's it's a little bit more to the Astros, we don't sign anyone past X amount of years standard.
Yeah, because he officially became a free agent after the World Series on October 31st, and that gives teams, although he's a free agent, it gives the team that he's on a chance to negotiate. And I don't think we heard anything about any movement towards a deal, and he'll become an official free agent at 4:00 today where anyone can sign him. I guess in basketball or the NFL, you call it a tampering period, a legal tampering period,
yeah.
Particularly in basketball, but it's only exclusive to the Astros, where they could have figured out a way to get a deal done, and we haven't heard a thing.
I mean, there's no way that they're going to get a deal done in this. Like, if you're taking all the way this far, if you're Alex Bregman, like, everyone...
He was going to get the free
agency. Yeah, everyone take off your Astros cap. Put on your I'm trying to make the most money as possible hat. Why would you wait all this time before you get to the actual open market and be like, you know what, this deal that has probably been on the table since...
Well, has the deal been on the table?
If there has been a deal. But, like, this deal is not going to be... Like, it's not worth not seeing what other teams want.
Yeah, I don't know. I agree with you, but I don't know that the Astros actually offered him a real deal, because we've heard the conversations, at least when Dana Brown is asked about it. Yeah, we are talking, but we will get to offering him a deal. It's never like, yeah, we offered him a deal and Alex is considering it.
Yeah.
Not that he might be so open about it, but I don't think they've offered him anything that you would consider reasonable for Alex Bregman. So I would hope that there was some groundwork laid if they intended to keep him, or if they really wanted to give it a real shot at keeping him.
Yeah.
But to me, it feels like we're just waiting on some team to come in, throw a big bag at him. And he's like, you know what? I like this. I like the value. I like the years, and I'm out.
Yeah, if it's something that we'll find out what the Astros offered him, or like what their discussion, you know, the difference between, well, we're talking to him, but we haven't offered anything. So what are you talking about then? Yeah, like, what's the
conversation?
If there's not a number that's being said, yeah, then what is this conversation?
And we can talk about it now that the season is well over and now we're getting there. We're hours away. I never understood what we're talking, but no deal is being offered.
I think that just means to, like, temper expectations. And so you don't ask, like, so how much are you offering? Well,
maybe.
We haven't offered anything.
Sure, like, but, like, because what are you talking about if you're not talking about money and terms? Just
checking
the temperature,
right?
To see if he would be willing once you are ready to come to the table, maybe?
I guess. I mean, but it doesn't take months to do that.
No, it does not.
A phone call.
It doesn't.
But, yeah, well, I mean, we'll see. We'll see whatever the Astros offer or whatever their discussion were. We'll see after Bregman signs, and we'll – I don't know, 3 days later, get the Chandler Rome Athletic article.
About how it all broke down.
About, like, they only offered him, like, 4 years, I don't know, 15 per year. Something like ridiculous.
Yeah, they come in way under any number he would actually consider. And, hey, we offered something. I'm trying to think, who's going to break the Bregman to whoever news? Nightingale, maybe? Or you think it's Passan?
He's a Boris guy, so probably Heyman?
Maybe.
Heyman with at least one misspelling in the tweet.
Why?
Because he's misspelled.
Oh, I know why. I know he does it. I was like, yeah, leave Heyman alone. Just pointing it out, I guess.
That's what he's known for.
I guess.
I mean, the most famous one is Aaron Judge to the Giants.
That's rough.
And the only reason I feel like I remember it off the top of my head is because he misspelled the name, not that he got the team wrong. I always forget that he said to the Giants.
Yeah, it's rough. You're a newsbreaker. Get the name right.
This happens every year. It is so hilarious to me that they don't have a newsbreaker like Schefter and Rappaport or Shams, R.I.P. Woj. Like, it's just like, if Bob Nightingale says it, then, like, okay, but can I get something from the team or something? Like, everything is, like, unless maybe Passan does it. But Passan doesn't break, like, every sign.
Yeah, baseball is lacking.
And there might be a misspelling.
When it comes to newsbreakers. You go NBA first. We'll see if Shams. I've heard you say Shams. Is it Shams? Because I heard on television he got called Shams by the ESPN anchor.
It might be Shams. I don't know.
Whatever.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mr. Sharania.
Sharania. Mr. Sharania.
Yeah, Big C. No, not Big C.
Yeah, you might want to change that for your own benefit. But yes, they don't have anyone like him or what Woj did.
R.I.P.
He's dead. He's not dead, but he's dead to us as far as us following him or paying attention to what he has to say.
I'll wait until the Bonnies make the Sweet 16.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that waiting. So, even in the NFL, you got Schefter, you got Rappaport, you got several. Garofalo, you got Darlington, you got all these guys. In baseball, yeah.
Jeremy Fowler. Like,
it's not
NFL,
the same.
NFL has like 10 of them.
In baseball, it ain't the same.
Yeah. Every time one of the 10 tweets something, even like Jake Lazor doesn't do it that often. But you're like, oh, this is solid.
This
I have
is
100%
real.
Confidence that this is going to happen.
Yeah. Baseball,
it's like, okay. Can I get, like, two more guys to tweet it out?
Yeah, the baseball one is – it always feels – baseball's almost like soccer when it comes to European transfers where we're getting there, we're getting close,
yeah.
But it could always fall apart at the end.
Shout out to Carlos Correa, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking of when I brought it up.
Yeah.
They can be as solid as they come as far as soccer reporters, but they're at the finish line, but the deal fell through because of this, because the teams couldn't agree or the player terms couldn't be agreed to. That's what baseball feels like.
Or what it is, it's actually kind of like college football where you have to then be like, is this Kansas City reporter? Like, is he reputable or is he just like some random guy who isn't really a reporter, just has cover, he hosts a podcast and has the Royals in his bio, so we think he's legit. Like, it's the same thing college football where it's like, I don't know, this is a radio guy from Tallahassee. I don't know how much I can buy that he's that Mike Norvell's taking the Alabama job.
Exactly. Whether it be or a guy who runs the war chant FSU Rivals site. Oh, he thinks it's happened.
That's gossip.
That's even worse. The guys who run the college websites.
The 247 team site saying this? Take it to the bank.
I'm gonna need to hear from Feinbaum on this before I cement that as real.
Let me check Thamel's Twitter. Real
exactly.
Quick.
What's Feldman up to right now? McMurphy as well. All right, Eric, you want to talk more about the team than I do over the last 2 weeks. You've talked about it more than I do, so don't blame me. This isn't my thought. This is Eric who wants to talk about them. We'll get to them when we come back. Anyone else want to get in, whether it be on the likelihood of Bregman coming back to the Astros or what happened across the weekend in sports, college football, the NFL. Maybe you got a basketball thought. You can bring that to the table too. We got a couple more segments here. 713-780-3776. We will be back.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are.
No, not really. Okay.
Welcome back. We got a couple calls to get to. Let's start with Eric. He wants to talk about team near and dear to me. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Del. Great show. I have a few things. Did you see Miami being ahead of Texas in the poll this year? Also, I think G-Rag, Third Leg, is a better commentator than Brady. And did you watch the Penguin last night? It was explosive, no pun intended. And one more thing, Abigail Dye. What's up, girl? I need to listen.
I don't know if Abigail Dye listens to this show, so your shout-out, while I commend you for trying, take your shot. I say that because Juju Watkins is on my television right now as we are just getting started with the college basketball season. The first game on ESPN is Juju Watkins and her USC Trojans versus Ole Miss. She loves taking shots. She is next, Juju Watkins, as far as the next star in college basketball. Kaitlin Clark off the WNBA. Paige Beckers still at UConn. And Juju Watkins is next up. We'll see how she does in her sophomore season. As far as Canes, Texas, who do I think is going to be ahead? I think that was the question. I don't know if there's much difference between the two teams. They do things much differently, but as far as teams overall, I think they're about the same. There are a lot of teams with flaws in the country. I think Oregon's at this point has proven to be the most solid team in the country. As the season has gone on, they've gotten better and better. But Texas, Miami, Georgia, Ohio State, they've all got their issues. They're just different issues. So on a day, Texas could win that game. And on a different day, Miami could win that game. It just depends.
I will say they are very – I would say they are kind of the cutoff as far as teams.
Okay.
That you think can actually win the national championship.
Where do you think it begins and ends? Oregon, who's next?
I think it's literally the top five. It's Oregon, Georgia, Ohio State, Miami, Texas. And then six is Penn State, no thanks. Tennessee, no thanks. IU, great season, no thanks. BYU, great season, no thanks. So it really is just the top five in my mind.
And you don't I'm trying to think. Do you think... And this takes into account Jalen Milroe getting his act together. If Alabama could find more consistency on offense, do you think they could join that top five?
Maybe. I mean, they absolutely have to win this week against LSU.
Yes.
In Death Valley. Or else, like, show's over.
Probably it's over.
Either you're not making the playoff or everyone's going to be pissed off that you did
with
make the playoff.
Three SEC losses, yeah.
Yeah, like that's the boat that they're in, which the second part, they're used to that. Of
people being pissed off at them. It happened last year, even though they won the SEC.
Yeah,
who was everybody most upset about making it if you were backing Florida State? It wasn't Texas, right?
People it has more to be Alabama.
Because Texas beat Alabama. Yeah. Even though they both had conference titles, Texas did have the head-to-head. It had to be Alabama, yeah. The other two, Washington and Michigan, no one had real complaints about, and rightfully so. They made it to the title game.
And they're undefeated.
Yes, they won their conferences, and they were undefeated. All right. Looks like someone dropped. We'll try to get to that person before we wrap it up for the day, but let's get to Jerry. Jerry wants to talk some college basketball. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, good morning, guys. I know a lot of people are fond of that sports equinox, but I think this is the best time. You got the NFL and college football. You got the NBA, and now you got college basketball as well as hockey going on. You know, I got a question and a comment. My question is, with U of H being ranked number four, what is your, like, odds or what is your percentages of them winning the Big 12? Even though they lost Jamal Shedd, who I think was their star of the team. And just a comment, there's like, I believe, 300-plus Division I basketball programs across the nation. Why, I get it's the first day, but why do we got these small schools taking on these Division II, Division III NAIA schools? Like, I just think Prairie View A&M is scheduling College of Biblical Studies. Like, what are y'all doing?
They're treating it like an exhibition. I mean, it'll count, I guess, on the record. I'm not sure how they treat those games as far as, like, if Prairie View had a tournament resume, they would. Yeah, okay.
It counts on the record, but, I mean, the
committee's not.
The committee also, like.
It is Prairie View. They're going to have to win their conference title.
If you win your conference, congratulations. You're 16, maybe a 15.
Yeah, and if not, you don't. I think it's a coach just trying to get something on tape and win a game. That's all it really is. These teams are willing to play Prairie View. Prairie View is going to take some money games certainly this year, and they're going to take some beatings in some big environments. But it helps fund the program, and it's not a bad way to see what your team has by going into some of these places to try to get yourself as ready as you can for the conference. I don't know what people think about Prairie View. I'm just generalizing teams of that status. But why they're playing a team you've never heard of? Because it's supposed to be a win.
Yeah, and some of it's just like paranoid coaches just being like, I want to see what I got before a game that we could actually conceivably lose.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Houston is hosting Jackson State tonight. In related news.
Yeah, we saw Houston in exhibition mode against A&M and take A&M apart in that exhibition game that was actually on TV at Fertitta Center. Yeah. What they should be, number four in the country, should it be them in Kansas one more time to see who's going to win the Big 12?
Yeah, I think them, Kansas, Baylor, yeah. Probably. Arizona, maybe not Arizona.
I forgot. Yeah, it's Arizona.
They're in the conference.
They're in the conference, yes.
That wasn't me saying, no, wait, they're not in the conference. They definitely are in the conference.
I forgot that. I mean, we think about it in football terms, but Arizona is a much better addition to basketball than it is to football, though Arizona was supposed to be good in football this year and has fallen apart. I would say the Cougs and their conference aspirations, you rank them where they've been, no matter whether they've been in the Big 12 or the American, obviously a dominant force, or in the Big 12, a real contender. The question will be, as it always is, once it gets to tournament time, can they stay healthy, and will they be able to find guys to knock down shots?
Hand up. I didn't know Iowa State was ranked fifth in the preseason poll.
Oh, there it is. Iowa State as well.
Iowa State. Wow. Who'd they have?
Who did they bring in? Iowa State. Good program. Didn't know they're top five good. So it's going to be a competitive Big 12, shockingly enough, as it always is, even with the departures of Texas. And I say just Texas because Oklahoma's been okay too. But even with the departures of Texas and Oklahoma, the Big 12 added a legacy program in Arizona.
Yeah. And then a current on the top. Who
they got last year.
And BYU is normally just as good as, like, Texas or Oklahoma in basketball.
Yeah, BYU is a good basketball
program.
They're
like a ranked. I mean, we'll see. They lost Mark Pope. But they are normally a ranked game.
Yes.
You don't want to face in Provo. God, you don't want to go to Provo.
For multiple reasons, right? Well, you've experienced going to Provo. Well, not you specifically, but the football team has experienced going to Provo.
They did.
Long time ago.
Yeah, I was thinking last year. Yeah. I was like, no, they didn't, but no.
This happened. Yeah. So, Thomas, I see you. You want to talk college football? We'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else want to get in on the final segment? We'll get to that as well. And we'll play some sound, if we can get to it, from CJ Stroud. This is back on Thursday night, but we didn't play the sound on Friday. He's talking about lack of buy-in for a couple. He didn't go specifically by name, but he talked about the team having lack of buy-in. And if you know anything about this Texans team, you can probably guess. So I ain't going to tell you because I don't have source information, at least not source information that is giving me the go-ahead to say it on the air. But you can all guess who he's talking about, considering where the issues lie on that offense. We'll hear from CJ Stroud when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
We'll do our misery index tomorrow. We only got to like the minimum of what we can talk about in college football. We talked about some of the glamour games of the weekend. But, you know, we had Iowa State dropping a game. Obviously, we didn't get much into what Clemson did or did not do against Louisville. Fraud-ass Clemson. Look at you. Finally play a team who has a reasonable offense, a pretty good quarterback, and some guys who can test you at the skill position, and look what happened to you. Getting dominated by Louisville. I'm glad. I didn't hype up Miami when he called. Oh, look at that. Beating Louisville on the road is not such a bad win, is it? It's not so bad. It's not so bad beating them by 7 and covering, no matter how the score went. By the way, Eric, I have not watched the Penguin. I'll watch that tonight. I didn't watch the latest episode since he asked about that, too.
I'm glad that Clemson lost so we can get Rhett Lashley against UM in the ACC title game. Give me the Rhett Lashley revenge game.
Revenge? He left to take the SMU job before Manny got fired. It's not revenge. He had the SMU job lined up.
Okay, you did my guy wrong. You did Manny wrong.
Manny gave it a go for about three quarters.
He did. I thought it was happening. Or I at least thought it was, I mean, like every Miami game, going to be a close game in the fourth quarter.
And they just
it was close at the it was close start of the fourth.
Yes, and then whatever happened in the fourth where it was not close.
I know what happened.
Yeah.
Xavier Restrepo happened.
Yeah, well, they would have got the 60 if Cam would just handed the ball off instead of wanting to get the 6 touchdown passes. They're inside like the 5. He got hit from behind and fumbled, or that would have been a 60 spot if he just would have handed the ball off. Okay, let's talk to Thomas. He wants to talk some college football. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, guys, good show. I was just chiming in. Y'all were talking about like real contenders or whatever. And so I think the Mets is going through like the top 5, you know, as maybe like real contenders or whatever. And so as you listed that out, I was like, okay, well then all these like, you know, yes, but kind of like, you know, scenarios for each team opens the door for, you know, 6 through 12. So, I mean, I think I think you mentioned Oregon as probably being the most complete team or whatever.
Think we lost.
I was down to Ohio State, but I thought their Penn State win looked really good. So I think where this conversation is going is the contenders don't really look like actual championship contenders. They're just there by default, so to speak. I think this is a great year for the new 12-team playoff just because you're really going to be able to get someone like any given Saturday, so to speak, you can, you know, someone's going to be able to step up in a random neutral side or a random home field game that wasn't there before, and it's going to cost, you know, a good team. So, but yeah, I'll hang up and listen. Also, go Dynamo.
Appreciate you, Thomas. Dynamo season ends, unfortunately, early, or at least earlier than people would have won. As far as what he talked about, as far as contenders and their level compared to maybe years past, I would agree.
Yeah.
There's no obvious clear dominant team week to week. I use Oregon as the example because they have not, since really early in the year, they have taken care of business in a very business-like way, but that's the only way I can put it, they have, after the big win over Ohio State, they have taken apart anyone else they face where these weren't even games. They put you to sleep early and you have no way back in. So I want to certainly credit them for that. Everybody else, you can point to a big flaw. Surprisingly, at Georgia, it's their quarterback. Ohio State, I wouldn't say Will Howard's their issue.
It's offensive line.
But their offensive line is their issue, and their defense against at least the only real competent offense we saw, they had no answers from Oregon. They'll see Indiana, which is another good offense, so we'll see how they handle that. Texas, do I want to point directly at quarterback? I don't know.
It's
in the direction. I don't want to say it's Quinn Ewers' fault, but their passing game has taken a step back. The downfield throws don't exist. They play a lot behind the line of scrimmage. Now, they got fast guys who can take advantage of it, but if you are a team who can keep Texas in front of you and tackle, how are they going to move the football? So, to his point, could someone in that first weekend head into one of the teams who doesn't get a bye, go on the road and win a game? Sure. If I look at it, let's just say Texas doesn't win the conference, and they are the top non-bye team. Let's say they're five. They're the not fifth in the rankings, but fifth seed.
They're the fifth
seed. The fifth seed. Well, that would have them hosting Boise? I don't think Boise could go in there and beat them. Yeah. I don't think Boise could, but if Alabama wound up at 12, you could reasonably say Alabama. Yeah. But Alabama is playing LSU and others, so I don't think they'd wind up at 12. But whoever wound up at 12, Boise probably not. SMU, if they got there, no. If LSU wound up as the last at large, LSU can go into Texas and win. Yeah. So to your point, yes. And that is not, I'm not singling out Texas. I think Penn State could lose to one of the bottom part of that first weekend.
Tennessee, Indiana, every week.
All of those teams in that range could lose. And if Miami dropped into that where they don't win the conference, but they're one of the top at largest, they could drop a game. So I don't disagree, Thomas.
Yeah, when I say only the top five can win the national championship, that doesn't mean I think the top five will just blow everyone out on the way to it. I mean, I think it's likely one of those teams does lose in the
maybe
the second round.
I agree.
But as far as winning the, if you are going to get a bye, the four games that you need to win to actually lift up the trophy, I think only the top five teams can do that.
Yeah. You are talking about if you win your conference title, the quarterfinal, the semifinal, and the final. I would agree. They're probably not more than five. Now, you can disagree on who the five are, but I don't think there are more than five teams who can win the national title this year.
Like, if you're going to do, the kind of glass half empty on these teams, I mean, it's Texas, the best win is Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
That's the best team that they beat is number 24. Vanderbilt?
They're ranked 24. Again. Yeah. And Miami's best win is on the road at Louisville. Turns out Louisville is now a top 25 team.
Number 25, Louisville.
After they dismantled Clemson. So, yeah. Oregon, you would say best win of the year for anyone.
Yeah.
Ohio State at home. Now, Alabama beat Georgia at home, but we know Alabama has their flaws. But for Georgia, what's their best win?
Texas.
So, but I would still rank even though that's a road game, I still rank the Ohio State win at home for Oregon as the best win of the year. I did want to get to this before we wrap it up. I did mention this, so let's get to it. C.J. Stroud spoke on Thursday about his team and their lack of buy-in. Here's your quarterback talking about maybe not everyone all in on what they're trying to do.
I would say, we just got to honestly just play football better, execute better, stop pointing the finger and realize, at the end of the day, this is not winning football and we can't keep squeezing our way by every game. We are a really good football team. We have a lot of really good football players. Once we buy into the systems and what is being, coached, and also we got to be able to have leadership to take over. I believe this isn't the end, but this is definitely a great wake-up call for us.
So he mentioned lack of buy-in, and who has the biggest problems right now on that Texans team? You would say the offensive line. Questions abound. Can we trade for a guy? Do we need to move guys around? I'm not going to name names because I'm not allowed to. But the guys you think are having issues with buy-in are exactly who he's talking about. I'll leave it at that. You can guess. It shouldn't be too hard. It's those guys who, according to what I've been told, are the ones with the issues who need to lock in, which is unfortunate considering how important they are to the whole operation. All right, we are done for the day. Gallant and George up next, followed by the Killer Bees. Sean, since we're done, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did. I'll talk to you tomorrow.